Hare ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Go Prem Anande. So what did we discuss last week in our class? Yes, sir. Really? That's the same as always. What is it? Any points from last week?
Yes. I remember we heard that that this week we're going to learn why Balaram kills the donkey, not Krishna.
Mm-hmm. The Nukasura. Yeah, very good. Good. Any other points? What?
To Gopal, and he is exposed to gopis.
Yeah, first time that we see the gopis. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. It changes from Komara to Pogandalila. And then he, in this, it's Poganda Kaishora Lila we're going into now, so it means Krishna begins to have pastimes with the gopis. Which we don't see before this.
I was a bit confused with his age. Was he 5 or 6 then? He's 6.
Just turned 6. In earthly years. Any other points?
Discussed about Kupashtami.
Yeah, that's when Krishna takes the cows out for the first time. Yeah, very good. So tonight we'll finish the chapter 15. Chapter 15 is called... through the ass demon. So tonight we'll go from verses 27 to 52 and we'll finish the chapter and we'll hear about the what Dhanukasura represents. Dhanukasura, this is a little bit different. There's a slight variation now in regards to this particular demon, because Balaram kills Dhanukasura, whereas Krishna kills all the other demons except Dhanuka and Pralamba. These two are killed by Balaram. So there's some reasons why. It's actually very interesting why he does this. And so we'll go into this a little bit. This section. Hearing the words of their dear companions, Krishna and Balaram laughed and, desiring to please them, set off for the Talavan surrounded by their cowherd boyfriends. SKC, whatever.
Lord Krishna was thinking, how can a mere ass be so formidable? And thus he smiled the smiling petition of his boyfriends. As stated by Lord Kapila and Srimad Bhagavatam 3.28. Asam Hare Amandra Kila Loka Kila Sokshastu Sagara Vishwanam Akshudram. Smiling and the Lord, laughter of the Lord, smiling and the laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is most magnanimous. Indeed, for those who go down to the Lord, the smile and laughter, dry the ocean of tears, or the intense suffering which is given. Thus, to encourage their boyfriend, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram's mind, laughed and immediately set out with them for the Tala forest.
So what are the points there?
Arapa was once mentioning about it. By smiling, Lord Krishna creates spiritual desires within our heart.
Who said that?
He was commenting on the Brahma Vibhavani. Then Lord Krishna towards the end showed all the truth from the Brahma. At that time he was smiling. He was creating spiritual desire.
Good. Anything else?
You used to mention all this, that when you go and take darshan of the deities, they smile at you, that means they're happy. And sometimes
yeah, that's my I don't think it's like that with everyone, but that's my personal. Same for you? We're like brothers. Any other points? Okay. So, the basic philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that we must take shelter of Krishna. This is called Sharanagati. Krishna says in the 16th chapter, the 18th chapter of the Gita, in the what we call the Charan Shloki, which means like the summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, and then at the end, at the very final moments of the 18th chapter, Arjuna says, "So please summarize everything." And Krishna says, "Man mana, baba mad bhakto, madhyaji man namaskuru." So he gives 4 points. And the acharyas explain those 4 points. They come from the 9 limbs of bhakti, which are given by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto. And then those 9 come from the 64, which is given by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. So then after the 4, then Arjuna says, there's more dialogue in between. What we call the Bhagavad Gita is one conversation that we get 700 verses, but Baladev Vichabhushan and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, they write further dialogue, which is taking place in between those verses. There's more that was said. We only have what was recorded, but there's more dialogue. So then Arjuna says to Krishna, okay, you've mentioned 4 things, now give me just one thing. Because people just, particularly in Kali Yuga, people are ignorant, so one instruction is sometimes enough. So then Krishna says, Mam ekam eka sharana braja, just surrender to me. So surrender is constituted, Sharanagati, Prabhupada explains in the purport for 1866, that he says that Sharanagati has 6 limbs, which is spoken of by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Krishna is maintainer, Krishna is my protector. So a devotional service means that we accept Krishna as our protector. So in devotional service, we see here in the Bhagavatam, this is the basic message of the Bhagavatam, surrender unto Krishna. Whatever is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, then that is elaborated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the basic premise is we must surrender to Krishna. So what do the cowherd boys do? When Krishna smiles, they feel safe. They feel they can take shelter, surrender. So Krishna and Balaram smile, and as soon as Krishna and Balaram smile, there are no concerns. That's why the boys feel so confident. The boys just think, let us just go into the forest. Dhanukasura is there, all of his friends are there. But the other day, Krishna killed Agasura, he killed Bakasura. We've seen him do so many things already. So really, there's no danger. Let's just go. And if anything happens, Krishna and Balaram will protect us. So that is the basic philosophy of the Bhagavatam. That Krishna and Balaram will protect us. So it means Guru Gauranga. Well, Balaram is the original spiritual master. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality. So Guru Gauranga, Krishna Balaram. That is the basic principle for the devotee. We will surrender to these personalities. So Balaram, he is about to kill Dhanuka. So we'll hear about this. And this Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Chaitanya Shikshamrita gives some interesting points why it is that Balaram kills. Because Krishna's killed everyone else up until now. Hands up if you like Balaram more than Krishna. 1, 2, you gonna say yes or not?
No.
You're not sure or?
Equally,
okay. Hands up you like Balaram more. 1, 2, 3, 4, okay. Hands up you like Krishna more. I'm also Krishna, okay. Hands up you like equal, same. You can't do twice.
Pago
beta, beta. Huh?
Either once or 3 times.
Yeah, once or 3 times. Yeah. What is that?
It says, for us, at least for me, I believe I have spoken
to
Lord Nityananda
mercy more than my soul. Yeah, Nityananda is more merciful than Balaram. Yeah.
That's why both of us, he wants to bathe Lord Nityananda, I also
bathe Lord Nityananda. Yeah, I bathed the deities for quite a few years. But I used to bathe mainly with Jagannath Balabhaprabhu. He would always bathe Lord Nityananda. Like that. Very, very rare that he would let me bathe Lord Nityananda. Mostly I bathed Lord Chaitanya because he wouldn't let me. like that. Very, very occasionally. Sometimes I'd ask him. Usually he'd say no, but then once in a while he would let me pay Lord Nityananda. Okay. So now we're here about the pastime. Any other points?
Okay. There's one more. I think it's important to just mention that when they smile, they're happy. And when they're happy, there's also no fear.
Yeah. Lord Balaram entered the Tala forest first. Then with his two arms he began forcefully shaking the trees with the power of a maddened elephant, causing the tal fruits to fall on the ground. So it describes when Krishna walks is compared to be like a mad elephant. Have you ever seen the mad elephant? You see? If you haven't seen it, just look on YouTube. You see the elephants when they go mad. It's interesting how they look very powerful. Krishna and Balaram are like that. They walk like mad elephants. Like very, very powerful.
So what is talfruit?
Talfruit, I'm not sure. I don't know what the English equivalent is. Does anyone know what the talfruit
is? I asked Dhirabhadi Prabhu when he was a few years back. He said talfruit is talfruit. And I didn't understand. I didn't want to argue with him. Ask Dhirabhadi Prabhu when he was a few years
back. Oh, Dhirabhadi Prabhu. Okay.
Because he's from Dutch.
Yeah.
Talfruit is very thin.
Like lychee or something?
Oh, yeah, no, I understand. It's like a...
Lychee is small, this is flat and round, like a disc. And if it's ripe, it's very sweet. The tree looks like palm tree.
Palm tree, okay. That's tall fruit. English, I don't know what it's called. I'm not sure what it is, so.
Toddy is made from
tal.
Yes. Okay. What season does it come?
I think summer. It's a very cooling thing.
Summer, yeah. Yeah, because it's mentioned this pastime takes place in summer. Okay. So that's the tal fruit. Yeah, I don't go in summertime, so I've never seen. Hearing the sound of the falling fruits, the Asteem and Dunuka ran forward to attack, making the earth and trees tremble. The powerful demon rushed up to Lord Balaram and sharply struck the Lord's chest with the hooves of his hind legs. Then Dunuka began to run about, braying loudly. Moving again toward Lord Balaram, O King, the furious ass situated himself with his back toward the Lord. Then screaming in rage, the demon hurled his two hind legs at him. Sharadarada,
you know. The word Upakrosta, who is an ass, and also one who is crying out nearby. Thus it is indicated here in that the powerful
enemy. So what is the point?
Two aspects of seva. One is back towards the one and one is showing your anger at the
other. Yeah, both good points. Yeah, so bahir mukh. Bahir mukh means when you turn your face. It's very disrespectful. Turn your back on someone. You see, Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada was sitting, you can see the video. Prabhupada's giving a lecture on his Vyasa son just there in the temple. And you see all the devotees, they're all sitting side on. We don't do it anymore. You know, we turn our backs towards like that. But Prabhupada actually said, he told everyone, he said, do not put your back towards Guru or Krishna. They're very disrespectful. Try to do that when you're in the temple as much as you can. Now, these days, in Mangalati, we all, you know, face our backs towards Prabhupada. But you see in the old days, Kama Prabhu told us everyone, yeah, they used to face each other during the kirtan. But these days we do like that. So, okay, we're doing that. But try as much as you can. You know, if I go and sit and chant japa in the temple, I always sit side on. I won't sit with my back straight to Prabhupada. So you should be conscientious of that. Prabhupada said, it's disrespectful. It says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, do not put your back towards the deity or towards the guru. And Jagannath Ramprabhu is pointing out also, do not become angry in the temple. That's also mentioned, one of the 64 aparads. And it also says one should not talk before the deity. Devotees do this all the time. You know, after class finishes, everyone just sits around and they talk. But actually, you should talk outside the temple. You know, I mean, you can speak about something related to the class, but if you're going to have a whole conversation, you should go out. And even these days, I see devotees doing texts in the temple. You know, they're just there doing a text, and they're sometimes even sitting speaking on the phone. It's not appropriate. So when you're with the deity or the guru, then you should not put your back. So he's put his back towards the deity, which is not respectful. Dhanuka Sura. So he's going to get chastised. The attitude is wrong. When your attitude is wrong, then Krishna chastises. Any points? Lord Balaram seized Dhanuka by his hooves, whirled him about with one hand, and threw him into the top of a palm tree. The violent wheeling motion killed the demon. So he was dead before he even got to the tree. He picked him up and he just... like that. And he's so hard, like that, each time he was thrown him, then he left his body before he even... and then his body just went... just threw it up into the tree. Like up into the chandelier, like that. And he's just hanging in there. Lord Balaram threw the dead body of Dhanuka Sura into the tallest palm tree in the forest. And when the dead demon landed in the treetop, the tree began shaking. The great palm tree, causing a tree by its side also to shake, broke under the weight of the demon. The neighboring tree caused yet another tree to shake, and this one struck yet another tree, which also began shaking. In this way, many trees in the forest shook and broke.
Lord Balaram threw the demon Dhanuka so violently into the great palm tree that a strong reaction was unleashed. And many towering palm trees shook and then broke with a great crushing sound.
What are the points there?
Lord Krishna did that in the previous two chapters. He brought down two trees. Again, Gopal was commenting on Lord Krishna's time. Lord, he is also many things.
Yes, yeah, so Krishna is showing his power, but it's not significant. Yeah, it's a couple of trees. For Krishna, it's not a big thing to knock the trees down. But whenever he does, this is pointed out a little bit later on, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, whenever he does or performs a pastime, he uses just enough strength to execute the pastime. But he's not showing his full strength, because if he shows everything, the earth will just disappear. That's how powerful he is. And this whole universe just coming out of a pool. So when it's just one few palm trees, but he just shows enough. You know, whenever he does a pastime, he just performs the pastime in such a way so that everyone can see who is the supreme personality or the superior personality. He doesn't show his full strength, because if he lets everything go, then you know, there'll be nothing left. Any other point?
They destroy others as well.
Bad people.
Which
bad people?
I mean, Dhanuka Sura was not a good person.
Yeah.
So he got killed, but he destroyed the trees as well.
Because of Lord Balaram's pastime of throwing the body of the ass demon into the top of the tallest palm tree, all the trees began shaking and striking against one another, as if blown about by powerful winds. My dear Parikshit, that Lord Balaram killed Danugasura is not such a wonderful thing, considering that he is the unlimited personality of Godhead, the controller of the entire universe. Indeed, the entire cosmos rests upon him, just as a woven cloth rests upon its own horizontal and vertical threads. So, Mila Gopurabhu.
Unfortunate persons cannot appreciate the blissful pastimes of the Supreme Lord. In this connection, Srila Guru Deva Goswami explains that the Supreme Lord possesses unlimited potency and strength, as expressed here by the word Ananta. The Lord exhibits a tiny fraction of this power according to the need for a particular situation. Lord Balarama decided to vanquish the gang of demonic asses who had unlawfully seized the Taravana forest, and therefore he exhibited just enough divine offerings to easily kill Dhenkasura and the other demons.
What is that?
Taking the analogy of demons to Ananta, they are like the exact operates. It's just enough. Keep us going in Krishna consciousness, but also teach us.
Yeah, it's a good point. He always deals with us as much as we can handle at any one time. Or he knows exactly when to turn up the heat and when to drop it back and like that. Yeah, sometimes I think about that, how intelligent someone must be. He's dealing with all of us simultaneously, and he knows exactly how much every one of us needs just to get the right situation. And then sometimes, you know, you run into someone who will purify you. And sometimes, even last week, someone I met, I could just tell it was exactly Krishna's arrangement I'd meet that person. Because a few minutes either way, I wouldn't have run into the person. And then when I ran into the person, something significant happened, and then sets off another chain of events. So Krishna's orchestrating everything for our purification. So. Any other point?
With my limited knowledge, but this demon actually kicks Lord Balaram in the chest. So I don't, as far as I know, I might be wrong, we haven't really seen anyone able to actually physically harm the Lord yet. Why did the Lord let this demon hit him in the chest?
He kicked him, and it felt like he kicked a wall. Yeah, he just went. That was it. So there was no effect.
But he must have allowed it. Just like he allowed Mother Yashoda to tie him. He must have allowed this demon somehow to kick him.
So yeah, he allowed the demon to kick him, but it didn't do anything.
So is there a reason why that?
He's just showing how powerful he was. He kicked him with all his strength and didn't do anything. Anything else?
I could think that he was showing that he didn't kill him actually. He did it on defense because he is the one who tried to make him first.
Yeah, the way he's reciprocating the demons, it's like when Hiranyaksha is fighting with Varaha. So he's just like playing with him, or in the Sringadays with Hiranyakashipu, just like a cat playing with a mouse. So he's just playing with him, just to show his strength. So Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that Balaram is unlimited. Unlimited, he has unlimited potency and power. So he is the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Personality of Servant to Godhead. The only difference between him and Krishna is that Krishna is the original personality, which has already been established. But still, he is the Adi Guru. So Danugasura and Pralamba, they're killed by Balaram, not by Krishna. So they're a little different, a little special. So we'll discuss who they are according to Chaitanya Shikshamrita by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What does Danugasura represent? Danugasura represents ignorance of knowledge of the soul through gross materialistic intelligence or jackass-like foolishness. So it's complete ignorance of the soul, due to materialistic intelligence or foolishness. Then you're ignorant of the soul. So this is the anatta being represented. According to the Garga Samhita, in his previous life, he was born as the son of Bali Maharaj named Sahasika. He offended Devasa Muni by disturbing him when the Muni was meditating, by making a lot of noise while he was enjoying with 10,000 women on Mount Gandhamadana. Devasa cursed him to become an ass, saying, "You fool, ass-like person, become an ass. O demon, after 400,000 years in the transcendental circle of Mathura, in the sacred forest of Talavan, you will attain liberation by Lord Balaram's hand. He could not be killed by Krishna because he had given his word to Prahlad Maharaj that he would not kill any of his family members." So Krishna said to Prahlad Maharaj, Nisringadev said to Prahlad Maharaj, "I will not kill any of your family members from now on." So therefore, Dhanukasura had to be killed by Baladev. That's one reason.
How do we understand when he says being liberated for 40 generations?
400,000 years?
Prahlad Maharaj got promised from word from Nashindra that several generations passed, generations we already debated. How come this person have taken birth again? Family member.
Well, Prahlad Maharaj may still be alive. That could be one explanation. Also, sometimes the Lord may have a desire to fulfill, so could be. Okay, now. No, it was the son of Bali Maharaj. He was doing it. Okay, so now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains why is it specifically that Balaram kills Dhanuka and Pralamba. Okay. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, there are two demons killed by Sri Baladev, but the contamination they represent will have to be removed by dint of the devotee's own endeavors. This is one of the secret mysteries of Vraja Bhakti. So all of the other anattas, are removed by Krishna himself. Brinda, your mother is talking to you. Take your coat. It's very cold tonight. There's an Antarctic storm coming tonight. There's going to be snow on the Dandenongs and the Melbourne's going to be very cold tonight. So be very careful. It's going to be extra cold. What's that? Yeah, hail's already come. Yeah, it's going to be snow around. The wind's also going to be very strong. Just be careful tonight. It'll be cold. Make sure you're warm. Okay, so the two demons, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the anattas they represent have to be removed by us. Shrimvatam swa kata krishna punya shravana ketana hridyantasto hyabhadrani. So Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna removes the anatta when the devotee desires. But these two anattas, you have to do it. What's that?
What's the other?
We haven't got to it yet. I'll watch it. So we have to remove that ourselves. Krishna is going to wait and he's going to watch. And he's going to see when will you remove these things. So Balaram, that's why is Balaram killing, not Krishna, is what's representing. So what does Dhanukasura represent? The jackass, demon, Dhanukasura represents the bad mentality of overburden, load carrying. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, overburden, load carrying. Trying to do too much in this material world. Carrying a big load and burden. We don't need to. We don't need to work as much as we work. Or materially strive. It's difficult because in Kali Yuga they force you to work. You don't want to work so much, but they push you. But some people do the opposite. They don't have to work so much, but they just keep working anyway. Right? So it's like a mode of passion. It's also said he represents ignorance of knowledge of the soul. So there's ignorance of who we actually are. We keep carrying this on for years and years, even lifetimes in devotional service, not actually understanding who we are. That we are the we're not the body, that we are the soul. We are Krishna's eternal servant. Jivara Swarupahoi, Krishna Arinicha Das. And the gross materialistic intelligence, just like jackass-like foolishness, or not understanding who we actually are. This is up to us. Krishna's not going to do this for us. We have to understand we are separate from the body, that we are his eternal servant. We have to understand our constitutional position, our spiritual identity ourselves. Now, Pralambasura, he will come quite a bit later, but he's the other one who was killed by Balaram. So it's very interesting. He represents lust for the company of the opposite sex. Attachment to the, basically it's sex desire, which is the most powerful shackle which holds all the living entities in this material world. Attachment to the opposite sex. So you have to get rid of that. Krishna's not going to get rid of that for you. Does anyone have a problem with that? Anyone's attached to the opposite sex? One person, very good. Two, very good. Three, four, here it comes. No one else? Not attached? Okay. Everyone else is too embarrassed to say. But everyone in this material world is attached to the opposite sex. And that's what keeps you in this material world lifetime after lifetime. Because you keep trying to enjoy the same thing. Prahlad Maharaj says, chewing the chewed. You've already enjoyed sex life for millions of births, but you just want to enjoy it again. And because you won't give up this attachment, you have to stay in this material world. So this you have to get rid of. Krishna won't get rid of this for you. So these two things Balaram represents, because it's the guru rather than Krishna. It's guru's instruction to overcome these things.
Okay, this is the point I was thinking what you are telling towards the end. So because it's Balaram who removes it, in this case the guru removes
it. Speak because louder so they can.
When you say Om Agyan Nirantash,
by his instructions, but like Prabhupada says in the first canto, you have to fly your own plane. It's a little hard to reconcile. I know, I've been meditating on it also. Yeah, it is hard to reconcile, but I'm just concentrating on it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you have to do these things, so now I'm meditating on this. In other words, maybe on these two areas we have to put in more effort. And I went back through the anattas today because I wanted to see. And most of them, I don't think, generally, a number of them won't really affect us so much. Like Shakatasura, you know, like the Mayavad Buddhist philosophy. It's not really a big obstacle. Putana, the false guru. Most of us are not kind of bewildered by the false gurus. But these ones, these are significant ones. You know, gross bodily attachment and attachment to sex life. So.
Even within Islam, even after everything else is in place, still these two we have to work on.
In ISKCON? I thought everyone in ISKCON was free from these things. ISKCON has these problems. Just you know, you do. You should have told me this before you enrolled for the course. I thought everyone was free from this stuff. Okay. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yeah, I mean, you can take it however you want to take it, but the fact that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying we have to put extra effort into these two. So, you, like I said, take it however you want to take it. It's up to you how you want to take it. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur clearly says there's a reason why these two are killed by Balaram. So he says, Pralambasura represents lust for the company of the opposite sex, as well as the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. So these things also, these are the most powerful anartas we have to deal with. Pratishta, that's Bhaktivinoda Thakur singles that out of everything. He says that is the most prominent anarta. Profit, adoration, and distinction. But specifically, distinction. Distinction means you want to be better than everyone else. That's the most, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the most prominent of the anartas. You want to be distinct, special. Even I had a lady ring me up here, this is 20 years ago. Yeah. We used to answer the phone under the hall, under the stairs here. So she rang me up and she said, she was just telling me all about herself and everything. She goes, I'm really special. I said, yes, we all are. Like, it's like, everyone thinks that of her, but she was meaning it. Like, I'm really special. It's like, we all think that. You know, whether we admit it or not, but we all think we're special. Significant. So then it is said, when a devotee endeavors with enthusiasm to remove these contaminations, then by Lord Balaram's mercy, they will be cast far away. So on these two, specifically it said, pray to Balaram. It means Guru, Nityananda, Balaram, like that. Sex desire, gross ignorance, bodily concept, specifically go to Balaram. He's more merciful. Nityananda's more merciful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says these two will be destroyed by Balaram, specifically. Dunukasura causes complete and total ignorance of one's eternal identity. It also stimulates foolish misconceptions about the eternal nature of the holy name of the Lord. Plus it misdirects one with delusions about what is actually worshipable. So different types of gross ignorance manifest. You get confused about who is worshipable, the eternal nature of the holy name, and foolish misconceptions about our eternal nature. So these different things manifest. Dunukasura represents these different things. These contaminations must be cast out through great endeavor on the part of the devotee. So basically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying you have to put extra effort into these particular anartas. And if you analyze it, I think it's true, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying. The methods of the process of purification are very deep and mysterious. Therefore, it is necessary to learn about them directly from a bona fide spiritual master. So Balaram represents Guru. In order to remove these anartas, you specifically need instruction from your spiritual master, guidance, association, humiliation. It's interesting, as I was reading this morning, now I'm reading one of Shivaram Swami's books, Nava Braja Mahima. It's an amazing book. There's a conversation between Yamaraj and Yudhishthira. Famous in the Mahabharata, famous conversation where Yamaraj comes as the Yaksha and all the boys die. Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, and Yudhishthira has to answer the questions. Right. And then Yudhishthira, I was reading this morning, the answers are amazing. I was reading this morning. So Yudhishthira emphasized that if one wants to become wise, one must study under senior personalities to develop wisdom. Wisdom you can only get when you associate with those who are wise. So you need to associate with senior personalities. So that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying here. That's what the spiritual master is. Spiritual master is someone who's extremely qualified. The gurus, like Sankarshan Prabhu is here at the moment. These personalities. So by their association, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the method of or the process of purification is deep and mysterious. Therefore, it is necessary to learn about them directly from the bona fide guru. So you need to remove these anattas. You have to associate very carefully with very exalted persons. And this will remove your anatta. They're Balaram's representatives. Basically, that's the principle.
In the talk yesterday by the Maharaj, he said that we should be happy when our guru humiliates us because that means we're making progress.
Yeah. So, be happy. Any other points? O King, as the demons attack, Krishna and Balaram easily seized them one after another by their hind legs and threw them all into the tops of the palm trees. The earth then appeared beautifully covered with heaps of fruits and with the dead bodies of the demons, which were entangled in the broken tops of the palm trees. Indeed, the earth shone like the sky decorated with clouds. Yogesh, you want to read?
According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the bodies of the demons were dark, dark blue clouds, and a large quantity of blood that had flowed from their bodies appeared like bright red clouds. Thus, the whole scene was very beautiful. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in its various forms, such as Rama and Krishna, is always transcendental. And when he enacts his transcendental pastimes, the result is always beautiful and transcendental. Even when the Lord performs violent acts like killing the stubborn ass demons.
Okay, so what are the points?
One of the reasons they went to that forest in the first place was to pick the fruit. So in one action, he killed the demon and gave them the fruit as well, within reach. Just interesting how it's perfect.
So Prabhupada says in the purport, or it's said in the purport by Prabhupada's disciples, that the Lord's pastimes are transcendental and beautiful. So it is all on the spiritual platform. Everything Krishna does is spiritual. It's not material. And it's always beautiful. Everything Krishna does, even when he kills the demons, it's attractive. So it describes that the palm trees, like a bluish color, the demons, the ass demons, they themselves like a bluish color, the tal fruit, and the red, which is coming off them. So Krishna decorates everything very nicely with the bodies of the demons. It's hard to understand, but if you ever see, fortunate enough to see these pastimes, even Krishna, the way he kills demons, it becomes very attractive. It's just Krishna's personality. He's able to do like this. Any points? Hearing of this magnificent feat of the two brothers, the demigods, and other elevated living beings, rained down flowers and offered music and prayers in glorification. So they were astonished and ecstatic by this unusually swift and nonchalant way in which Krishna and Balaram killed the very powerful demons in the tal forest. So they're seeing Krishna's supremacy. These are demons which the demigods have trouble with. They weren't easy for the demigods to kill. Bakasura, Agosura, Dhanukasura, Putana even. All of these demons have given problems to the demigods. They're not easy to kill. And Kamsa's the most powerful out of all of them. The demigods can't conquer him. But Krishna kills each one of them easily. And they're astonished. When they're looking down, they say, well, for us to have killed them would have taken so much effort, but Krishna just did it almost instantaneously. So he's showing his supreme position. You really have to meditate deeply to fathom or to understand the significance of these pastimes. We just think, oh, Krishna killed that demon, Krishna killed that demon. But we don't understand how powerful these demons were, or how powerful they are. They're unbelievably powerful. Just like, you know, the pastime when Jarasandha goes to Mathura and then he sends Kuvalaya Pir, that elephant, which Krishna kills later on. He sends him into the capital. I've told you the pastime before. So he goes into Mathura, the elephant, he's starting to smash everything. That elephant was captured by 80,000 other elephants. Now, that elephant by himself was as strong as like an army of elephants. Okay? They had to get thousands of elephants to capture that one. And then he went in and he was smashing everything, and then Kamsa picked him up and threw him over the wall. Right? And he landed back in Jarasandha's army. Why that? And when Jarasandha saw, you know, the elephants just come back over the wall, you know, then he understood how powerful Kamsa must be. So he made a truce with Kamsa. So we can't, unless you meditate deeply, you won't get in a deep understanding of how powerful Krishna is. Because we tend to minimize Krishna's achievement. We think, oh, he killed that demon, he killed that demon. I've heard the story so many times, Danukasura. I've read it to my son 10 times. He killed Danukasura, but you have to understand the potency of these demons.
I was hearing a lecture where the speaker was mentioning that out of all the demons, the most powerful was Potam.
And
she was so powerful that even Kamsa was not sure. So Kamsa was very sure he was more powerful than everyone, but he wasn't sure of Potam. So he made a truce with her, saying that you are like my sister. And that's how he got her on. So he did not fight. Otherwise, he had captured all other and made them work for him. But he couldn't do it.
Anything else? People now felt free to return to the forest where Danuka had been killed, and without fear they ate the fruits of the palm trees. Also the cows could now graze upon the grass there. Also, Jamuna Lila.
According to the Acharya, no class people such as the Pulindas ate the fruits of the palm trees, but Krishna's cowherd boyfriends considered them undesirable since they had been tainted with the blood of the asses.
What are the points there?
Anything that associates with the demon is undesirable.
Yep.
So is it that we should not eat fruits?
They did not eat the fruits that were fallen.
Yes, in that context.
No, the point is, the reason they weren't eating the fruits is because they had blood on them. So the basic principle is devotees have to have standards. In ISKCON, you have to follow standards. So we say no meat, no fish, no eggs. We say no onion, no garlic. You know, some devotees become more lax on different things. And then we say no tea, no coffee, but then devotees become more lax. But there are standards which we're meant to follow. You shouldn't eat food which is cooked in a vessel which has had meat cooked in it previously. Or if you go to a restaurant where they also serve meat, and then you eat meat at that, you eat vegetarian food. Like people, I know sometimes, you know, people will go to restaurants, meat is being served, they'll take the vegetarian option. But technically speaking, everything's contaminated. That place is contaminated. Everything they cook. You can't mix, you can't say, oh, this is not in that, it's not like that. Or so there is a basic standard here, that if the blood comes, then everything is contaminated. So if the blood of the animal means if they're serving meat in that establishment, the whole place is contaminated. And then you have to be very careful about the ingredients. Practically anything you buy these days, so many things have contamination. Many things have contamination these days. Even you find out the numbers they put in. Yeah. Devotees always putting stuff on Facebook and everything. Every week there's a new number. Oh, it's actually that, it's actually that. It's actually that, it's actually that. They put this in there, they put that in there. Devotees send out group emails, you know, don't eat this anymore, don't touch that anymore. Practically everything is contaminated. Yeah, you go back to America in the 1970s, they were putting fish oil, codfish liver oil in the milk. Prabhupada said, yes, you can offer that to the deity. Because Prabhupada was recognizing, he wanted to establish ISKCON, and he wanted the deities to be offered milk, but the only milk available had the fish oil in it. Prabhupada was understanding practically everything's contaminated. But as devotees, we should follow standards. That's the point. Yeah. Be strict, because these things will affect your consciousness. Now, if you're not careful, not strict, you will become affected. You know, you buy food from where they cook the meat and these things, your consciousness becomes affected. Any points?
Yeah, probably, but people just eat, you know, anything, non-veg. They don't even wash their hands. And they touch all the fruits in the shops.
So what should we do? They're all
contaminated, so we shouldn't buy them.
Yes, you don't leave your house. Grow the vegetables on your balcony.
Sorry?
Grow potatoes on your balcony.
I've got a balcony, what should I do?
And buy a new house. But it is, it's very difficult. It's very difficult because practically everything is contaminated these days. So. It is, it's true. Things are difficult, but still you should follow. Still you should follow the standards.
So what should we do? Just wash it?
Yeah, just wash it. What can you do? It's true. I mean, yeah, everything which is touched by the non-devotees and everything. So contaminated. So yeah. As much as you can, follow strictly. Any other point? Okay. The lotus-eyed Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant, returned home to Braj with his elder brother Balaram. Along the way, the cowherd boys, his faithful followers, chanted his glories. So what is the process of purification? Yeah, Shravana Kirtanam. Yeah. Vasudev Katha. We have to develop a taste for hearing about Krishna. Vasudev Katha Ruchi. So the cowherd boys, they have this taste. So on the way home, they were just glorifying Krishna, just speaking about Krishna. So we also need to develop that taste where we speak about Krishna more than other things. Now, these are some very, very beautiful descriptions of Krishna's beauty. This is called Bhakti Rasayana. What is a Rasayana? What is that Rasayana? What is it? Type of what? Medicine. Rasayana. In Ayurveda you have Rasayana. Rasayana means medicine. So this is Bhakti Rasayana. This will cure the disease of the heart. These are because when you chant the holy name, first you meditate on the Naam, then comes the Rupa, then the Guna, then the Lila, then the Dharma, the associates. So there's a sequence. So now you're about to hear a description of Krishna's rupa. So when you are chanting, you can meditate on Krishna's form according to this description. It's bhakti rasayana. This will cure your disease. Lord Krishna's hair, powdered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. The Lord glanced charmingly and smilingly and smiled beautifully, playing upon his flute while his companions chanted his glories. The gopis all together came forward to meet him, their eyes very eager to see him. So the gopis, Prabhupada, or it's explained in the purport, the gopis are all married. Or if they're not married, the younger gopis, it is still inappropriate to look at a boy in public. You don't just go and look at a boy in the public like that. It's not done in a cultured civilization. These days everyone's mixing and it's all mixed up. But in that culture it was not acceptable. So they were looking directly at Krishna as he came back from the forest, but only if they weren't being watched. You know, if they saw one of their elders there, immediately they would look away like that. But the point is, they could not stop themselves. They knew they should not be doing it. But it's so powerful, their attraction to Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, when will my attraction for Krishna become as powerful as a young boy and a young girl? When a young boy is attracted to a young girl, or a young girl is attracted to a young boy, they cannot stop themselves from thinking and looking and absorbing themselves. So Rupa Goswami says, when will I become like that? When I'm just so absorbed in Krishna. So the gopis were like that. They came out and they were just looking at him. Yeah? And they were looking around, making sure no one's watching them. They were watching him as he came in from the forest. So Krishna is irresistible. He's so beautiful and so attractive, even though they know they should not be looking at him, but they cannot stop themselves. And even when they're married, which is the most, it's deplorable, or it's unacceptable culturally, that if you're married to someone, you'll look at someone else. It's not considered acceptable. And they know they should not be doing it. That's why they're all married. That's why it's parakeet above. Krishna arranges, they all get married to someone else, but then he takes their heart. He captivates them. He attracts them. And they know that they should not be looking at him, but they cannot help it. He's so powerful, so attractive. So as he comes in, this is a beautiful description. So when you're chanting the holy name, you can meditate on this. This is given as bhakti rasayana. This is given as verses. This will cure your material disease. Hands up if you're attached to the material world. These verses, they destroy that attachment. They're given by the acharyas. They're singled out by the acharyas. With their bee-like eyes, the women of Vrindavan drank the honey of the beautiful face of Lord Mukunda, and thus gave up the distress they had felt during the day because of separation from him. The young Vrindavan ladies cast sidelong glances at the Lord, glances filled with bashfulness, laughter, and submission. And Sri Krishna, completely accepting these glances as proper offering of respect, entered the cowherd village. Everyone, all of these, thank you. All of these personalities, these gopis, they, you know who Matty is? You all know him? There he is. You know that famous CD? Yeah. He was in there, he got a Grammy Award nomination. He was at the Grammys this year. Gokularani's son-in-law. He was nominated for a Grammy. He was at the Grammy Awards this year. Almost won the Grammy. In the top five in the New Age section.
Multimillion bonus.
Yeah, the Bhakti Vedanta Border CD. You know that CD? Have you all got that CD? Beautiful. You can buy it, it's in the shop. Just go over it. It's Bhakti Without, called Bhakti Without Borders. Beautiful CD. Almost won a Grammy Award. Nominated. So that's Maddie. He's very famous in ISKCON. He's a Preacher Prabhu. Preacher was a famous disciple of Prabhupada in Germany. Oh, there you see his son. Oh, that. Very, very wonderful devotee. Very nice devotee. We're blessed. There he came. He's like a demigod. Famous devotee. Okay, so all of the gopis, they wanted Krishna as their husband. That was the feeling. As Krishna comes into the village, they feel, I want Krishna as my husband. Now, the difficulty is that many of them are married to someone else, so it's difficult. But Krishna knows they have that desire, so Krishna is reciprocating. So it is said, they offer Krishna a garland with their glance. And Krishna accepts the garland with his glance. So it's a very intimate relationship. Right? They just look at Krishna and Krishna just looks at them. And basically they're saying to Krishna, we only want you. And Krishna says, I accept you. But because we're in the village, we can't do anything about it. So Krishna is saying to them, you want to be with me? You have to wait till it gets dark. I'll run into the forest and then you meet me there. And that's when they associate with Krishna. That's called Rasa Lila. But that's next year. A little bit more time. Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini, acting most affectionately toward their two sons, offered all the best things to them in response to their every desire and at the various appropriate times. By being bathed and massaged, the two young lords were relieved of the weariness caused by walking on the country roads. And then they were dressed in attractive robes and decorated with transcendental garlands and fragrances. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says they can't get exhausted because they're God. But they just act like that. That's their lila. You know, they say, now I'm hungry, now I'm tired, all these things. It just increases the love of the devotee. But they never get tired, they never get hungry. After dining sumptuously on the delicious food given them by their mothers and being pampered in various ways, the two brothers lay down upon the excellent beds and happily went to sleep in the village of Braj. O King, the Supreme Lord Krishna thus wandered about the Vrindavan area performing his pastimes. Once surrounded by his boyfriends, he went with Balaram to the Jamuna River. Without Balaram. Shall I say with Balaram? Okay. Without Balaram to the Jamuna River. Very good. Because it was Balaram's birthday. It was Baladev Purnima. At that time, the cows and cowherd boys were feeling acute distress from the glaring summer sun. Afflicted by thirst, they drank the water of the Jamuna River, but it had been contaminated with poison. As soon as they touched the poisoned water, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness by the divine power of the Lord and fell lifeless at the water's edge. O hero of the Kurus, seeing them in such a condition, Lord Krishna, the master of all masters of mystic potency, felt compassion for these devotees who had no Lord other than him. Thus he immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectarian glance upon them. So what is significant about that verse? The cow boys cannot die. Because they're eternal, they're Krishna's associates. So it was just a lila shakti or yoga maya. It was a pastime. It appeared they all died, right? But they cannot, and Krishna glanced at them and he brought them back to life. Regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood up on the water, out of the water, and began to look at one another in great astonishment. O King, the cowherd boys then considered that although they had drunk the poison and in fact had died, simply by the merciful glance of Govinda, they had regained their lives and stood up by their own strength. So what is the next chapter called? Yeah, Kaliya. So this is leading to the next chapter. At the end of chapter 16, you'll have your next exam. So next exam will be in about 2 weeks or so, coming shortly. And your open book exams, your essays are due in about, what's the date today? 12th. I'll give you to the end of this month. Okay, so finish your oral presentations and everything, and then end of chapter 16, then we'll have the Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.